Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, a speaker, and a researcher. I am joined by my very good friend, Dr. Martin Mendelson, who is a disabled dentist, a coach, a speaker, and a thought leader. And together, Martin and I have helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry. And it's just something that we absolutely love doing. Today, we're going to be talking about, I call it the highlight reel of dentistry, of what we see on social media, what you see on people's websites, what you see on the podium at congresses and symposiums. And we're going to juxtapose that to real life dentistry and what actually is happening. And what you're going to learn today is that you may not feel alone, knowing that there's other people that are going through hard times. You may realize that not showing your highlight reel could actually build better relationships with your patients and get more referrals and grow your practice. But before we go into that, we have our Lightside Live course coming up. This is coming up November 1st and 2nd in Irvine, California. When it's freezing cold and people are shoveling snow in other states, we're probably going to be going to the beach. So make sure you sign up. Go to wellnessanddentistry.com. Sign up for Lightside Live. There's 12 PACE AGD approved CE credits for this. And it's just the most transformational course that Martin and I give. So Martin, yes. Let's get into this topic. Okay. Welcome, by the way.
Good to see you. Thank you.
We see this a lot, especially social media really amplified this.
Yeah.
And that is that you see before and after, before and after, before and after. Everything looks amazing. You see beautiful pictures of people's offices. And I understand why people are doing this, especially if their social media is going directly towards their patients.
Yeah.
But how does this impact everybody else? And is it the best way to build a practice?
Yeah. So I'm sharing my, you know, to some degree, my personal biases here. I think that I'm going to pose a question. How is only showing rip-roaring success and beautiful cases to bring patients that expect excellence to your practice any different than writing articles to attract patients on a topic that you may or may not want to build your practice on? And what I mean by that is this: if you're looking to do more comprehensive cases, why would you write a newsletter in a local paper about the importance of getting your teeth cleaned every 6 months or 4 months? And for that matter, why would you only show the best and the brightest when you know, no harm, no foul, that we're all human and not everything goes well? Think about the expectation that you're creating for the patients that find your feed, that come to you. I'm not sitting here saying you should put up bad looking cases, but there's people, frankly, like you, that have a much more balanced social media profile so that people see the human being behind the dentistry, not just the pearly whites, as a layperson would say. So I don't know. Did that make any sense?
No, it's a great point. And to reiterate how I heard that was, you and I are very big on having patients truly understand what's possible, meaning good and bad, right? Mm-hmm. This could look amazing, or the implant could not integrate and you could have a sinus opening and we need to have sinus surgery. I mean, like, those are honestly two discussions that have to happen within the same, you know, implant crown restoration, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are saying everything I do is amazing, everything I do is great, even if it's 97% of the time, you're still not setting the right expectation for the patient. Yes. So I think what you're saying is you bring in all these patients that are like, oh, Dr. Mendelson, oh my gosh, you're the best. And for those of you that can't see me, I'm like, you know, praising him, I'm bowing down to him, right? Which feels pretty good.
Yeah.
But what if they're in that 3% and this is the patient that has sensitivity or that filling you did turns into a root canal?
Yeah.
Right. Then they're like, but you know, you're so good and everything. Oh my gosh. And then they're pissed off.
Yeah.
And these are the patients that really cause problems. And your
Yeah.
patient, your staff gets stressed out. They want their money back. This may even lead to litigation.
So you just made me think of something cool. This could be really terrible or really profound. You ready? So Dr. Spiro always says, you only treatment plan what you only see what you know.
Yes, which I
See?
included in my lecture on Sunday, by the
Oh,
way,
very
that
cool.
quote. Yeah.
And so let's flip this to patients only expect what they see and see what they know. So in other words, if all they see is success, what do you think they're going to expect? Right? And so it was ironic that you were using 3% or 97, depending on perspective. So I had a vertical fracture in 14, had endo as part of the brilliant conversation I had with my amazing endodontist and friend. He was like, remember, this is 50 to 70%. It's probably going to fail. And because it was me, and you know how it is when it's you, you're like, oh, I didn't even think of that. And so we had that conversation. We did the endo, put the crown on, and guess what happened? I ended up losing the tooth. I had an implant placed, now an implant crown. Great, fine. And so when it happened, my mind went to, well, I don't like being the 3%, but here we are, right? So it's all about setting expectations. And this highlight reel thing for us, I believe, is all about setting expectations or the incorrect expectation, right?
Yeah, and I have to say that I was one of these highlight reel people
Yeah.
early in my career. And even in my speaking career, I showed all of my great cases. And what's funny is, I think when I went from being a speaker to an educator, which are two different things, right? Or
Yeah.
actually, I would say like a lecturer to an educator was when I started showing my complications.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And that was what people learned. It was, I sh and how I would usually show it is I'd show, this looks beautiful. Look at how great it is. And then I say, look what happened 6 months later when she came back, or
Right.
5 years later, she came back and this broke off and this failed and this and this and this. And that was when I really learned the power of humility on building trust. So
Sure.
I first learned this as a speaker before I learned it as a dentist, as a clinical
Yeah.
dentist,
Yeah.
because I've been speaking, my entire clinical career. So I would show these cases that looked good, then looked poor, and people would thank me so much, say, wow, that was a great case. I really
Yeah.
learned so much from that. I had a case that just had that complication. Now I know what to do or how to talk to the patient. I didn't learn it. I was still the highlight reel person with my patients, though.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, honestly, I went through litigation with patients and a staff member that I became overzealous about
Yeah.
setting these poor expectations.
Yeah.
And again, it's 97% in my favor because you don't have complications that much, but it
Correct.
happens.
Yeah. And I think, being honest and open and really thinking about how it is you're saying what it is you're saying, right? Because what I've started to do on purpose is to go out of my way to follow some of these dental students and newly graduated dentists. And their feeds are very different because it's more about or not more necessarily, but it's more equally weighted in going to the gym and their first days in practice and the overwhelm of being a dentist. And so, when we think about kind of a more balanced approach, and somebody looks at you and goes, okay, Kyle, so I get what you're saying. It makes some sense. I shouldn't set up the expectation for everybody to think that, I'm, the universe's gift to dentistry. How would I do that? What would you say to somebody?
Yeah, I would say to show the human side of you on social media if you're comfortable with it.
Right.
So this means non-dental things. This
Yep.
means family, if you're okay with showing that, your husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or kids or neighbors or dogs. And I think it also means showing complications.
Yeah.
Because one thing I didn't realize about showing complications is that it shows that you have experience. You see, I thought, oh, this is just showing that I make mistakes.
Right.
It shows that I've done so many of these that I even know when things go wrong, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I know that when I've been on the receiving side of the medical industry, I've like gone to consultations with friends or family members. Some of them, when I go, like, I remember going with a friend who was having a nose job, and this was an older gentleman. He had been doing it for a long time, and he was very open about this isn't necessarily going to look right for over a year. Don't love or hate your nose for over a year. These are the complications. Here's all the complications I've had. I've been doing this for 30 years, and this is the most common thing I see with people who have a nose like you. That it really showed his experience. I was like, whoa, this guy's done a lot of this. He really
Absolutely.
knows what he's talking about.
And
It
talk
didn't
about
scare her away either.
no. And going back to the whole idea of expectations, think about the gravity of that. If you start posting on social media, it's like, hey, I wanted to show you a really, really challenging case. I've been in dentistry for X number of years. These are the kinds of things that I always look out for, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in this case, it ended up this way versus that way, you know. And then who do you think? And you know, I'm not sitting here saying you want to go in there and like admit fault and stuff like that. That's not the point. It's talking about the case like you would in a lecture, right? If you were trying to educate other dentists. And so think about the type of people that would actually attract. It would actually attract the people that would look at that and go, oh wow, look how thoughtful this man or woman is. Look how all the things that they take into consideration. Oh yeah, it didn't go so well, but you know what? I'm gonna go to that kind of dentist, right? And the other people that could be insanely difficult at times that see that kind of thing and go, well, I don't want to go to somebody who isn't perfect. Well, newsflash, none of us are, right?
Yeah. And thank goodness that you don't attract those people, because those people are a pain in the ass. Those
Absolutely.
people are people that don't have realistic expectations. If they think you're a god, it may be great for your ego, but when their tooth is sensitive afterwards, or the shade match isn't right the first time, they're going to be pissed off, and they're going to cause a racket in
Absolutely.
your practice, and it's going to ruin
Absolutely.
your day or your week or year, even, especially if it's these cases that go to litigation.
Yeah, 100%. In fact, I was talking, I didn't even tell you this. This younger happens to be a guy like appeared on my feed. He's graduating dental school. He's already going to CE courses. And so I DM'd the guy and I was like, hey, congratulate, because he also had a lot of other kind of gym content, just social stuff, right? And so I was like, hey, congrats on graduating dental school. It's so cool that you're doing CE so young. Like, you know, if you ever need anything, let me know. And so we started having this conversation. And this whole idea of balance, and it goes back to what you say over and over and over again, and it bears repeating, dentistry is what we do, it's not who we are, right? And so let's show that side of us, right?
Yeah.
It's
What's
so
interesting too is when I started showing more of my, well, I kind of always showed my personal life, but I guess it's when I started introducing my dental career to my personal Instagram, because it was mostly personal at first, and then it became dental, and then it was kind of both. I would have patients that followed me and would say, I love seeing pictures of your dog. Like, she's so cute. Or, it's so fun to see your wife and you traveling. And they connected with me as more than a dentist at that point. And they connected with me as a human. And we created better relationships. And that relationship allowed me to be very honest with them about complications and timelines and how long this is going to take and how much it's going to be. Because
Absolutely.
it wasn't doctor up here and patient down there. It was just two humans talking with each other that really gained trust.
Absolutely. I told you that I have a new obsession, this musical group called the Scarlet Opera, and they have this line from a song that says, quote, the whole world is watching and nobody cares. And to me, what that says is everybody's watching everyone's social media. But you know what they take out of it is what they personally are going to take out of it, i.e., where they're coming from, what they're looking for, et cetera. And if we go out of our way to like give them more of a balanced view, then the opportunity for them to see the more balanced view is there. If we don't, and we're all one-sided, then what are they going to see? And so I love that line because I think
Yeah.
it so.
No, it's great. It also kind of makes me think of this podium dentistry that you've heard. You
Yeah.
know, you see this all the time and you've seen it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've even been guilty of it early in my career, which is showing dentistry that you may not really do every day.
Yeah.
And you're doing to show off. A lot of speakers are showing stuff that they did a long time ago that they did once, which is okay if you say, you know, I did this once. This was kind of a crazy one.
Sure.
But also, you know, you get one case that you photographed really well and it turned out really nice. And that's not really real life in your practice or other people's practices. And I think that people are starting to see through this now.
Yeah.
Now, there are dentists that I know that do podium dentistry every day. And that is, they're just that incredible. Like you and I both know dentists.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. Okay, so I'm not saying that it's not possible, because it is. I mean, my partner, Matt Najat, is one of these people. Like, he does incredible dentistry. But people may think, oh, you don't actually use a rubber dam every time. Or you don't actually prep to the mock-up every time. You don't actually use guided surgery all the time. And that's why I tell people, like, I use guided surgery on every case when I was practicing. Was every case I did implants on was guided surgery. And for me, I did that from a mental health standpoint. I did that from a predictability standpoint.
Yeah.
But I would encourage the speakers, the lecturers, the educators out there to really be open and honest about what they're doing, what works, what doesn't work, the problems they've had, because you get these young, impressionable dentists, like maybe the one you were talking with, that see this and say, gosh, every single case they do is incredible.
Yep.
And mine is not.
Yep.
Yes, I had 10 cases that were incredible the other day.
Yeah.
But one was a total shit show.
Yeah.
And they feel terrible. They feel like they're less than. They get depressed and have anxiety. It can be really bad.
And how is this any different? I just thought of this. How is this any different than advertising in the media? You know, you see a man or a woman, 9 times out of 10, they're good looking. 9 times out of 10, they're fit. And that's, I mean, no harm, no foul. It just is what it is. That's not the average person in the United States. It just isn't. That's a fact. And so you'll then start to see on occasion, either companies or modeling agencies or what advertising campaigns being applauded for showing, quote, real people. How is this any different, right? So to some degree, maybe we need to give ourselves a little bit of slack, because what have we been taught? What have we observed? What's out there? What's out there is aesthetic perfection, physical aesthetic perfection. And so, you know, we kind of follow suit to try to show dental perfection, because that's what we're so used to. But by the same token, if we're trying to build a practice, a reputation, social media presence for as a thought leader, we need to be more realistic and more global in what it is that we present.
And I think there's a place in both podium dentistry and what you're talking about with advertising for aspirational things, right?
Oh, 100%.
But it needs to be communicated.
Oh, yes.
So there's cases that I show that will say, like, I show this case because I want to show you guys what's possible. I want to show you what's possible with good implant placement, with great emergence profile, with screw retained implant crowns, with working with a great lab, right? This is an aspirational case. But I'm also going to show you what happens when you do all of that stuff and it still doesn't work out.
100%.
And similarly to social media, I think it's okay to have aspirational things. Like, I follow a lot of guys that are in great shape. Why? Because it gives me inspiration.
Yep.
That I see these guys and, like, God, that guy is just shredded. You know, and it's inspirational for me. I think I know that now, why I follow these people. And I think maybe it's different because I'm older now, as opposed to younger minds.
Yeah.
That they may think, well, this person has it all together. No, I know this guy has great abs, let's say.
Yeah.
And, you know, big biceps. But I'm not thinking, I want his life.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, because it's the awareness that is the difference. You know that you're following these people for your own physical journey to look to as aspirational influencers. I follow a bunch of fit men and women actually in kind of the nutrition eating space. Yet I also know to take it with a grain of salt because they're younger. And it's like, if some younger man or woman tells me, oh, this really works for me, I'm like, great, you're 24. I'm 54. Like, it ain't gonna work. So it's just kind of taking it with a grain of salt, right? And so that awareness piece goes to emotional intelligence, that goes to, you know, your ability to lead. And we just got to kind of catch ourselves and be more realistic relative to, you know, and ask ourselves some questions. You know, what am I looking at? What is what I'm looking at saying to me? Why am I looking at this? What's my motivation? And how is this going to ultimately change how I practice dentistry or how I'm engaged in X? If the answer is, well, I just kind of get frustrated because it's all so great and I don't feel like I can do that, it's like, stop. It's like, don't do that. So,
yes.
You know, taking the time to reality test another composite from emotional intelligence to say, how true is that? What's the real reason why we're doing this? What's the real motivation? What am I getting out of this? What am I not getting out of this? How is this influencing me? All of those questions are things we need to ask ourselves versus, as the phrase goes, doom scrolling every night, thinking that your number 8 and 9 or, you know, 10 through 11 that you inserted today doesn't look as good as Dr. Kyle Stanley's that he posted on Instagram.
Yeah. And I think one of the important parts of showing real life dentistry on social media and websites and podiums is that it allows people to know I'm not alone.
Oh, 100%.
When I was in my deepest, darkest time with burnout, I thought I was the only one going through it and the only one that had gone through it.
Yeah.
So not only currently going through it, but ever gone through this in dentistry. And it was so nice when I started speaking about this and hosting courses and et cetera, that I started to realize, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then it was people coming up to me and you and saying, thank you for talking about this. I thought I was the only one.
Oh yeah.
And so what I want to say to people that are listening to this is, if you're going through a hard time and you're talking with people who are not, know that at some point they either had gone through this or they will go through this. Nobody has a career with no ups and downs, where they never have patients that are pissed off. They never have patients that want refunds. They never have staff member that gives their 1 hour notice on a Friday when you have the busiest Monday of your life. It happens to all of us.
Oh, 100%.
If you are in dentistry long enough, you've had all of these cases happen. And I think especially for the young doctors, it's important to know that this is what real life dentistry is.
And social media is smoke and mirrors. Last night, you know, the comedian Matt Rife, do you follow
yes.
him at all?
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy's hysterical. It's my own personal opinion. So I just saw his new Netflix special last night. And as I usually do when I see somebody's, you know, new special or whatever, I just start going down a wormhole reading articles and stuff. And here's another guy that was talking about anxiety and depression and how it like ramped up when he started to really become successful. And, you know, I applaud kind of the younger generations for being so open about this, but why do I bring this up? Because it looks like this guy's got the world by the tail. It looks like this guy has everything going for him. He worked for what, 13 years or something before he achieved this level of success. And still,
it only took him 13 years to become
an
overnight
exactly.
success.
You know, he's such a slacker, that dude. And so, but yet when he got there, talk about hedonic adaptation, the study of lottery winners is one example where they win the lottery and you think, oh my gosh, now I'm happy, but wait, no, I'm not. You know, it's a great example. And so when you're looking at these highlight reels of fellow dentists, remember everybody has something going on in their lives. Divorce, IRS problems, team problems, like nobody gets out of this thing called life unscathed. That's not a doom and gloom statement. It's just a reality statement. And if we can go through life with an optimistic bent and looking at things in the way that is the most healthy, when those bad things happen, let's engage with them. Let's flow through and flow past them, but let's not, you know, steep and sit in that place. Let's move past it. And so with the highlight reel thing, the opposite is also true. Not everything is rainbows and unicorns all the time. It's just not.
One of my favorite speakers is Dr. Joseph Kahn. And for those that maybe don't know Dr. Joseph Kahn, he's mostly in the implant kind of perioperos world. And he's not only a great speaker, he's funny, he's got great photos, but all of his cases now that he shows is kind of what I talked about before. And honestly, I copied him with this. He shows a case and he says, this is what I did. You know, this was, I published this in this esteemed journal article 15 years ago. And then I got a LinkedIn message from the patient because, you know, she's back in town or whatever. She moved back to India. Now she's back here. And this is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And he shows, I had this amazing thing. I published this new way to do it. Everyone thought I was incredible. I was traveling all over the world showing it. This is what it looks like 15 years later. And the implant is coming through the buccal plate. The, you know, things are broken. There's no papilla. And he's so honest and open about this, but he's such an educator because he shows them like, this is what I did. And these are the challenges that we had. I couldn't really finish this. We had to do an adjacent veneer to close the embrasure on this. And people really learn from this. And I think what it also does is it brings him down being Joseph Kahn, the, you know, university educator and researcher, author, to Joseph Kahn, the dentist, just like me.
Exactly.
You know, and not saying that he's an average dentist at all. I mean, he's exceptional in his clinical abilities, in his knowledge of research and what's possible, but he still has problems. And even when he thought he knew it all and published this and showed it around the world, it didn't last forever, right? Yeah. Absolutely. And it's so nice because it allows dentists to, again, say, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one going through problems. I'm not the only one who can't get a papilla on a super scalloped anterior incisor.
Mm-hmm.
And it really brings the profession together.
100%. 100%. I, you know, I just, you always just got to take things with a grain of salt and kind of look between the lines and think to yourself, okay, so what's really going on here and what's great, you know, this is a great case. What are the things that might end up tripping me up? Or what are the things that I want to learn more about? Or what are the things that I would be concerned about, you know, to change the thought process from the doom scrolling and I can't do this to the opportunity of, okay, so this is a great case. What are the kinds of things I want to learn more about? Or what kinds of things do I think I could learn that would enable me to do these kind of things? So, you know, I'm talking about just kind of shifting the mental track from, oh my gosh, that's beautiful, I can never do that, to, you know, what could allow me to end up doing this kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I got to say too, it's something that's been rattling around in my brain this whole time we've been talking, you know, basics are basics. And I've said to you before that from my perspective, comprehensive cases are nothing more than a culmination of smaller things that get brought up into one. So treatment planning basics are treatment planning basics. You know, case planning basics are case planning basics. Communication basics are communication basics. So if you're looking at a big case and you're thinking to yourself, and this is more than just social media, maybe if it's in a course or whatnot that you're taking, and you're like, I don't see these kind of cases on the regular basis. Okay, fine. But what can we take from the planning philosophies, from the things that we look out for, to bring that back to make those less comprehensive, less complex cases easier for us to plan and manage?
Yeah.
So it's a mindset shift.
Yeah. I think it was a good topic. I think that what we're trying to get us to get everyone to understand here is that by every dental professional showing realistic complications, challenges. And we know you run a business, there's marketing, we know that. But I actually think it grows our profession. It brings realistic expectations to patients, which ultimately means there's less relationship problems with dentists, which means the culmination is that dentists have better mental health.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I just realized too, I'm guilty of this myself, because just last week I did a whole bunch of posts on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook about the remaining months of 2024 and all the speaking engagements that I have. And I'm a busy guy. While at the same time, if there's, I don't know, I don't remember the exact number, 10 or 12 engagements on that list, do you know how many conversations I had to go through to get to those 10 to 12? I mean, the number of rejections, the number of people that ghosted me, the number of people that said they were gonna bring me out and then said, no, it's not gonna work out. I mean, that was my highlight reel. And so I'm human too, and I'm sharing with y'all my failings and my failures right here and now. I'm not a I'm not a failure as a person, but I failed that one bit where I could have taken the opportunity to say, you know, this all looks great, but let me share with you all the, 8 to 10 to 12 hour days in my home office, sitting here at this chair, trying to bring myself forward. Dentistry is no different. There's a lot of effort that goes into success, period.
Well, yeah, what we're talking about, although we are relating it all back to dentistry, this is not a dental problem. This is a life problem. You see your friends at a party, you say, how's everything going? Great. Everything's perfect. How's everything? Great. Everything's awesome. Everybody's amazing all the time, right? And that was why I thought something was so wrong with me, was because when everyone was saying everything was great, it wasn't great for me. I was struggling. And then I was like, everybody's great and I'm not. And something's wrong with me. And what I realize now is a lot of people are struggling.
Every
And
day.
I don't want that, but that made me feel better.
Every day. Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. Well, Martin, why don't you finish this off for us? Where can people find us? What's coming up?
So super excited. I mean, if you're looking to find us, whether it's Kyle from, speaking and from his thought leader perspective. I know you do a lot of consulting with businesses as well. His links are on our website, wellnessanddentistry.com. If you're looking to hire me as a speaker or bring me in to work with your team, you can also find my links on wellnessanddentistry.com. We're both super excited to kind of join forces in person once again, as an extension of what we do here for Lightside Live in Irvine, California in November. Want to thank Glidewell for kind of opening their arms to hosting us. That was very generous of them. So we're very excited about that. So whether it's here, wellnessanddentistry.com, Lightside Live, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, you can find us if you look for us. How about that?
All right, everybody. We'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.